All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay.
That's good.
Befuddled by the weather.
Well, it's better than the heat.
Yeah.
I've gone almost a whole half a week without having my air on full.
So I have a giant truck.
Okay, you do have a giant truck.
Okay, so when I drive my giant gas-guzzling truck
right
in the rain,
right,
I don't usually have any sort of problems.
Uh-oh.
Today when I drove it through the torrent,
right,
I had to stop because when I was hitting puddles,
right,
I wasn't stopping in the puddles, but the water splashing up on my car
was
so thick or so much.
Right.
That my wipers on full were not keeping the window clear enough for me to keep going.
Lovely.
That was weird.
That's fun.
Yeah. A lot of people died.
Rich world problems.
A lot of people died.
You know, people are starving in Ethiopia. You got a lot of water on your windshield. I'm just saying.
A lot of people died. Trying to move on.
They didn't eat. Anyway, a lot of people did die.
A lot of people died that we know.
A lot of people did die. So how about we introduce the episode title then? And then hit that thing and then talk about the people who died.
Okay.
Because it all ties in.
Well, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode
259.
259. I knew that.
Sure.
And we're calling it Death in the Family.
That's right.
Because a lot of people, you know, and it's people that we actually know. Two of the three people.
We know.
We actually know them.
Yes, right.
And so it's very upsetting when someone you know dies. It's very upsetting.
Right. So let's talk about, do this.
Geek stuff.
All right, let's talk about the one we don't know first.
Okay.
Then. How about that?
Yep.
Harry Maxwell Harrison passed away.
Uh-huh. That's the writer.
He is a writer.
Uh-huh.
And he is a well-known science fiction writer. He passed away at age 87. Apparently, he wrote the novel Make Room, Make Room, which was then eventually adapted to make the film Soylent Green.
Right.
He's written a bunch of other sci-fi novels.
Soylent Green is people. OG.
That's is what I understand. And he also worked on the Flash Gordon newspaper strip.
Right.
Flash Gordon commentary, no longer available. for people still writing in and asking.
That may change.
Oh, yeah?
That may change.
The MP3 version may come back.
By the way.
Yes?
Did we talk about the movie Ted?
We did not talk about Ted.
And how much Sam Jones is in the movie Ted?
I did not know he was in the movie Ted.
Oh, my God.
As himself or as a voice?
As himself.
As himself?
As himself.
Like, he is Sam Jones.
He is Sam Jones, the guy that played Flash Gordon. So I guess Mark Wahlberg's character and Ted are fascinated with the Flash Gordon movie.
That's so awesome.
And they like run into him at a party. But Sam Jones, for those of you that don't know, and OG and I could write a book about just that experience alone. Yeah, exactly. Sam Jones, not a blonde.
No.
And wears his hair like military short.
Yes.
Grew his hair out to the Flash Gordon length and bleached it.
Oh my
God. For this movie. You have got, but he's using his real voice.
Oh, of course he is.
I didn't see the movie, but I saw some clips.
Right.
Of, it's like the one clip I saw is they're on the, a rocket cycle. Do you remember when he's on the rocket cycle? It's kind of like a standing rocket sled thing from the movie. It's him and Wahlberg and Ted on the rocket cycle, and he's driving it.
I have to see this now just for this.
All I could think of was, I wonder if Seth MacFarlane has heard the commentary that we did. He must have.
He may have.
He must have. If Sam Jones...
Sam Jones probably mentioned it.
Probably mentioned it or gave it to him or something.
Sam Jones is a chatter.
Okay, that's a word.
He's a talker.
Yeah, that's another word. He's loud.
He is
extraordinarily loud.
He is boisterous.
Yes.
And verbose.
Yes. I want you to describe what's happening now, OG. I'm backing away from the mic.
Right.
How far?
You're got to be feet?
I'm a yard away from it. All right. All right, Matt. All right. We're going to do this commentary now. Okay. Here we go. Oh, my God.
So now you think that was hard enough to deal with level-wise while recording the commentary.
Right.
Right. Now picture that same voice in a small Italian restaurant in Manhattan.
Oh, my God.
Packed.
Not for nothing. The food in that restaurant was fabulous.
Oh, no. Not a knock on the restaurant. Food was good.
You want the company was good. Matt, do you want to try some of this, Liz? How about you want to get a spoonful of that?
Oh my God, oh my God! And then we get up to at that time XM Studios, sits in a recliner, gets a mic in front of his feet.
Yeah, and he's out.
Takes his shoes off.
Yep,
and sleeps until we're ready for him.
Yep, it's brilliant,
unbelievable. Anyway.
That aside,
we're getting so far off course.
We do have somewhere, we still have some copies of the original signed.
We also have the MP3.
Oh, I know we have the MP3, but I mean, I'm just saying we may, when Ted comes out on DVD, which I think is going to be in the fall, in conjunction with, we may do some, we definitely have some prints and things.
That would be awesome, yeah.
That we want to, we can definitely tie in there. So we'll figure something out.
All right, we'll put the word out there that maybe it'll be back.
Maybe. So before people start
writing
in.
Because there's a
lot of
legal mumbo jumbo that goes into it.
Really?
Yeah, we got to get permission from some people.
Who?
Sam? Melody?
No, we don't.
Perhaps?
We don't have to get permission from them.
No?
We're not remaking. This is still part of the original batch.
Oh, okay.
We may have uncovered additional.
Oh, is that what it is?
These are numbered copies
from the Big Kev Geeks of Product Archive.
We can't fake these because
they're
numbered
and signed.
So,
and the numbers were printed on there. They weren't
absolutely not hand numbered. So,
all right, back to the deaths.
Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
Ron Palillo.
Yeah,
Horseshack.
Ron Palillo, Horseshack from Welcome Back, Kotter. Who I have had an affiliation with for quite some time.
And I shared a lovely meal with at the New Jersey Renaissance Festival back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Where he did make some appearances.
He did.
We don't know why.
In full garb back then.
We don't know why he made some appearances, but there he was. We also met a bunch of the Welcome Back Kotter guys at a variety of different places.
Sure.
And we were glad to have the chance to talk to them and so on and so forth. So... Ron was a weird little man, but he was the nicest guy, and, you know, there's not much to say about him. It's sad that he passed. He couldn't have been 60.
I think he was 65 or 66, somewhere in that ballpark.
Right, and that's hard to imagine, too.
Yeah, I know. And then what I am calling the saddest of the deaths this week, not to detract from anybody else.
Right.
Joe Kubert.
So I have to passed. I have to wonder, besides Stan Lee, who of the classic creators are still alive?
I don't know if
that
would
Joe Kubert is gone.
Right.
What's his name?
Kirby.
Kirby is gone.
Yep.
That leaves Stan Lee.
Right.
Steve Ditko is gone.
Who was I know I'm gonna get lambasted for this, but who was the guy we interviewed?
The guy who created Captain America.
That created Cap.
Yeah. I can't remember. I can't remember what his
name know. Was. I mean, he looked like he was on his way out.
That guy is 90-something.
Yeah, and he was sketching that day.
I know.
You remember?
I know.
And what a nice guy.
He was the nicest guy.
Someone's going to lambast us for not remembering
this. Well, look,
this,
hey, if you'd like to lambast us, give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You know, you can make a comment. You can correct us. You can ask a question. You can just be involved.
So, you know, Joe, of course, father to...
Joe Simon.
Yes.
Joe Simon. So only one of us is getting lambasted. Nice. Booyah.
So Mr. Kubert, of course,
yes.
Father to Andy and Adam.
Yes. Kubert, tremendous artists.
The whole family.
The whole family.
Was, and of course, and I think where his most modern impact is going to come,
right,
was his involvement with the school, which I know wasn't
that bears his name.
That bears his name. I mean, that school really was
churned out
a lot,
so many
a
artists.
Lot of artists.
Oh yeah,
and is a staple to
the
fine state of New Jersey.
Yep.
And of course, maybe quite possibly his last work now, which is maybe sad, before Watchmen Night Owl, which he worked on with Andy. Is I think still out. I mean, I think that was a project that the two of them worked on. I don't know if it was only a couple issues or if it was the first issue only.
I wonder if they finished.
But I don't know.
That would be. I would guess yes.
So very sad
wow.
to lose all of those persons. Very sad to lose Joe Kubert.
We had the opportunity to talk to Joe a few years ago. He did a sketch for me. Do you remember what it was?
Was it a Sergeant Rock sketch?
No, close. It was an Enemy Ace sketch.
Oh, that's right. And what a sketch that is.
That was
too.
A tremendous sketch that he did for me.
That
and
was at time.
That was.
Right?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
That was at the proprietary shop of Retailer X.
That's right.
And he was appearing there. Yeah. And you know what was funny about that appearance? There was nobody there.
I know.
There was four or five people there, which we were stunned by the fact that you have Joe Kubert doing a signing and just hanging out and rapping with everybody, and there's literally
a handful.
But
of
you
people.
Go to a con, there's 200 people in his line.
I know.
But he was at a shop, and there wasn't. I don't think in the entire time he was there, I don't think 25 people passed.
That's
there.
Which is crazy.
Which is nuts, and which was great for us though, because we get to hang out with him the whole time.
Sure.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really. So that's very very sad.
That is very very sad.
Death is always very sad.
It is in fact sad. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Daredevil.
Uh-huh.
Looks like it might be going back to Marvel. The film.
Oh.
We talked about...
I was like, whoa, hold on. Because all Marvel books have been canceled, and you know there has not been... To my knowledge, there hasn't been a Daredevil
I don't know. I haven't
yet.
Entirely followed the list of announcements. I've seen a couple of them.
I know. I haven't heard anything yet. I just heard about a Fantastic Force project. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, but who's in it?
She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Oh, I just was told.
No members of the Fantastic Four are in it, right?
Well, She-Hulk technically at one point was a member of the Fantastic Four. Do you remember when, you probably don't remember this, Ben Grimm was turned back into a human?
Yes, I do.
And Reed built him this huge suit?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a
he
woman.
He almost looked like Mark I Iron Man.
Yeah, it's a woman
right.
inside of this suit.
Right.
It's She-Hulk.
Okay.
That's two. There's some Ant-Man looking guy.
Right.
And there's a fourth woman who may, is it Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, whoever
oh, maybe
she,
it's
she
Ms.
is
Marvel,
now?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It could be somebody else, but I'm just like, oh, here we go.
It's not the Fantastic Four. To stop calling it that.
It's Call Fantastic it... Force.
Oh, whatever.
Or something.
Whatever it is, it's silly. Anyway.
Daredevil going back to Marvel.
So
films.
Daredevil, they had a tight schedule to start production on the film, I think, later this year.
Right.
They had a director lined up. They lost that director to Hannibal.
Yep.
They had another director lined up, and it looks like they kind of...
Did they lose that one to
no, actually,
Starling?
No, actually, I think... yeah, very funny. No, actually, I think they... they dropped them.
Really?
So the thought now is that the film might, and I think they asked for an extension from Marvel.
They certainly were not going to get.
And Marvel was like,
fuck yourself, because we can take it back.
And, you know, we didn't talk about it because it was a rumor that surfaced and was squashed within the time between two shows. Yeah. But there was some talk maybe a week or two ago about
Ben Affleck.
No, there was that talk, but not that. About Marvel, Fox trading characters with Marvel. So they were going to give Marvel Galactus, and in return they were going to get maybe an extension on Daredevil or something weird like
wow.
that. But anyway, it failed. Well, I could see that if Marvel's going with this whole cosmic.
You know, I think I have a great idea for Daredevil.
What?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Fuck it. Well, he'd probably figure out a way to look. He'd probably blind himself.
Exactly like he'd probably look exactly like Matt Murdock.
Both eyes. Anyway, so that looks like that's happening. What else? How about Christmas Story 2 going direct? I know what you're going to say, or I think I know what you're going to say.
I'm
going direct to DVD.
Okay.
Coming out in October.
Okay.
Now, my first thought was, there already was a Christmas Story 2.
It wasn't called that.
No, it was called My Summer Story.
My Summer Story.
But it was a follow-up to Christmas Story.
It was the same character.
Ralphie, and he was an adult.
Yeah, not, yeah.
His father was played by, what is the actor's name who played his father?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that was definitely done.
Charles Grodin.
Charles Grodin.
Right. Yeah. No, they act, now there's a new Christmas Story 2.
Uh-huh.
That's coming out. It follows Ralphie as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he no longer yearns for his Red Ryder BB gun. Now he wants a 1938 Humpmobile Skyline convertible. Anyway, it's a bunch of suck. It's going direct to DVD.
We should get somebody we know involved with the Christmas Story franchise. Maybe we should get them on the show.
Oh my God. Have you talked to him recently?
Oh, sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
we should get him on the show and get his thoughts.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what he has to say.
Let's see if we can set
about
that
this up. Horrendous flick.
Let's see if we can get it.
Like how I did that there? All right. NBC. In case you haven't heard, I think, is it NBC or CBS?
Bing, bing,
someone
bing.
Has gotten the rights to air Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog on network television. I think it was NBC.
What, for five episodes? Who cares?
No, I think it's in a single.
Oh.
I think it'll be a single event.
Okay.
But NBC is looking to develop a new supervillain series called Hench, which is based on a comic of the same name.
Hench?
A comic by Adam Beechin and Manny Bello. Now, I've never read it, but the story follows a down-on-his-luck average Joe who starts out doing temp work for supervillains to make ends meet. So it's kind of like a villain as the protagonist sort of. It's kind of like, yeah, right. It's almost kind of like that Dr. Horrible is the bad guy, but not really.
Okay.
Kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I think that's the vibe they're going for. So that's a bit interesting.
Okay.
Can I also just say, and I don't think that you're watching this show, but Alphas on Sci-Fi.
Not watching.
Is everything that Heroes should have been.
Oh, yeah?
It is great. That show is so good as far as that kind of show. It is
wow.
It is taking a superhero show
uh-huh.
for network television and doing it right.
Okay.
First season was outstanding, and the second season has been great so far.
First season out?
I believe it is out on DVD.
I'll have to pick that up.
You would love it. I actually think you would really enjoy it.
I have a couple of things to tell you.
Okay, go.
One, this Sunday night.
Yes.
BBC America.
Yes.
The premiere of Copper.
What is Copper?
Copper is the story. We talked about this several weeks ago. The BBC, which you know is British Broadcast Television,
right,
is trying to do a story about American history.
Oh, that's right.
Where it's about a cop. It's essentially, it's kind of like Gangs of New York, the TV show, sort of, except being done by the BBC.
Okay.
So that premieres this Sunday. On the BBC. It appears on the BBC this Sunday for the first episode. So that will be pretty good. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two. What was number two? There was a number two.
I don't remember. I have something BBC-ish.
Oh, yeah? What?
On August 25th in New York.
Right.
BBC America is going to premiere the screening of the new season of Doctor Who. And
they did this last year, too.
Right. And afterwards, there'll be a Q&A with Matt Smith, Karen Gillian, and executive producer Carolyn Skinner. Ticket cost is 11 cents with a $1 surcharge. But this is pretty big.
Is that an inside gig? Is that an inside
I don't think so. Well, it's the 11 cents because of the 11th Doctor.
Oh.
Is the thing. But this is, and this is actually leads into something. Something I've been doing on Twitter now, the day of the show,
okay.
So Wednesday, I throw out there during the course of the day, is there anything you want to hear us talk about on the show that we haven't talked about,
right.
We might not address? And one of our UK listeners said, yeah, I want to know your thoughts on the Doctor Who trailer for the new season.
Ah.
And he said specifically how it looks like it's starting to cater to an American audience and how the show has really outgrown its...
British
native
roots. Yeah.
Roots in some capacity.
Right.
And I think that this ties into that because, first of all, I think there are a couple up. There was an episode or two that was shot in New York, for the new season.
Right.
And this listener is absolutely right. I mean, the show has clearly outgrown. I mean, it's just as big here, I would say,
right.
at this point, or almost as big, just as big here as it is there.
You know, we have to say also, and I have to apologize to our audience who has been asking, where is Little Fifi's Who stuff?
Yes.
And I have a couple of them, and it's my fault I've been slacking. I really, really want to get one done before episode 260. Hopefully that's going to happen. Now, while we're saying that, we should mention that there will not be an episode next week.
Yeah, there'll probably be some sort of bonus content.
Oh, there will
some
be?
Some sort of something.
OG
yeah.
perspective?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I see.
So, well,
because
you know,
I'll be at Celebration.
You'll be at Celebration.
Right.
So we'll follow up the week after with the Celebration report.
And the normal day where we would be doing the show, I will be at Disney being disappointed
right.
by the fact that I can't get all 72 pieces from
in
the
all likelihood that will happen.
Yes.
Thank so.
You. Yes. Thank you for that.
So, yeah.
And OG, I understand that we have a couple of voicemails from the GVM line that we want to address.
We have two tonight.
Two to address.
Very exciting.
Well, we have lots, but I think you've picked
we have two to address.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, great. Let's do the first one. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Juan in Southern Oregon, and I just have one thing for you. You're sort of my eye into geek culture stuff while I'm busy doing my own ordinary life stuff. And, for instance, I don't really follow product, but listening to you guys talk about it, it's actually interesting for the time that you're talking about it. And then I just kind of walk away. But as you're talking about comics, I'm really amazed neither one of you has mentioned anything about Morning Glories, a comic from Image Comics. It seems like it would be right in your wheelhouse. It's sort of like if Lost had actually had some answers and hadn't been tap dancing on the fact that, oh, yeah, it's not Purgatory. Okay, maybe it's Purgatory the last season, but no. And with The Prisoner, if The Prisoner had a more rational ending. So if you think of like the first few episodes of The Prisoner and the first season of Lost, mixed with kids in a boarding school, it's a pretty darn good book. And I don't know how it'll end, but it has a lot of promise. But you ought to check it out. Anyway, thanks. Bye.
Okay. So you got to love this guy.
Sure.
He's from Southern Oregon.
We have listeners in Southern Oregon. Who
is that,
knew?
Is that what you take away from it?
Well, that and there's a new book I have to read, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, he certainly... Well, let's take it
as it comes. All right, sure.
It's awesome that you listened to us talk about product.
Sure.
Sir. And was it Juan from Southern
I believe
Oregon?
So.
So Juan, it's great that you take away that you listen to us talk about product, and that's great. But you know what you may want to try doing is when you're kind of out and about, maybe check out a product that we've talked about if you see them out and about, and or you know go online or if something really strikes your fancy, you know, check out the product, man. There's a lot of great product out there. Even for you guys who are not, you know, really getting your geek on in the product sense.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
You have a desk, you have maybe a little office, you have somewhere that you work that you can put, you know, your one token geekery piece, action figure, whatever.
Sure.
I think it's totally appropriate for you to,
do that.
To do that. Yeah. So that's the part about that. And we really love that you're listening. And that you're enjoying it, and that's great. Now, Morning Glories. So OG and I have both heard of this book.
Right. You know, if I, If I had a nickel for every time someone said, here's a book you really should be reading, I think it's in your wheelhouse,
right,
to use his terminology, and I think it's something you would really like.
That's,
you
know, that's a Southern Oregon expression.
Oh, is it really?
Wheelhouse.
The truth of the matter is there's too much out there to read and not enough hours in the day.
Okay.
That being said,
right,
a couple weeks back, I had a listener recommend two things to me.
Uh-huh.
The Boys, which I've read the first trade for and some extra, and Chew, which I picked up the first trade for.
What?
And will read now.
Are you kidding?
I've never read Chew before.
Oh, just Mike.
I know, but you know.
I have all the volumes.
I understand
Chew.
That you do, but I've never read it myself before. So that
also,
being said.
Also happens to be a, what's it called, the book?
What?
Hardcover. Image.
Oh, it is an image book. So that being said,
uh-huh.
Morning Glories has been on
our radar.
On my radar for quite some time.
Do you know the first?
I just haven't pulled the trigger.
Do you know
so
the
maybe
first
now,
person was to mention Morning Glories to us?
Who?
Oh, you weren't there.
No, but you told me about it. You said something.
Robert
so
Kirkman.
Said. Yes.
The creator of The Walking
That's
Dead.
Right.
In our extended hangout at New York Comic Con.
2 years ago?
What, maybe 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. It has been on my radar for a while. And maybe thanks to you now, I will pull the trigger, pick up the first trade.
So there you go, Juan.
And report back.
Juan, you've opened our eyes, Juan. And this is the kind of thing that we set the GVM line up for. So
Absolutely.
Bravo to you. Juan made a comment. He said he listens to us talk about product, that he's not really into product. That's totally cool. And he made us a recommendation.
Sure.
He gave us something to talk about. And that's why we have the GVM line, guys.
Absolutely.
What's that number, OG?
425-920-6050.
So get on that GVM line and call in. You can hear yourself just like Juan. Now, OG, we're going to take our first break.
We are.
And when we come back,
yes,
we have another phone call.
I feel the conversation might not be as pleasant as this one.
It's, you know what? It's not going to be. It's not going to be against the caller.
Oh no,
it's,
not in any capacity.
We are totally going to get behind this kid, and we're going to run with it.
Sure.
And we're going to report back to you what we get. But let's take that first break, OG, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 259, Death in the Family.
Hey, OG and Big Kev. I was just listening to episode, I think, 256, I'm a couple weeks behind, about it's when you first talked about the Aurora incident and how is AMC going to enforce all of their new rules and regulations. Well, a week after the Aurora incident, I went to the movies, and there was a woman that was constantly answering her cell phone during their movie, and after a couple times I leaned over and I said, "Miss, please get off your cell phone." And she huffed at me, and I said it again very calmly, very politely. She got up, went to management, and made a formal complaint against me and got me kicked out of the theater because she felt threatened by me. So I was told by AMC staff that it's their new policy that anyone confronting anyone in the theater is subject to being ejected regardless of whether they're in the wrong or not. It's whoever makes the complaint first. I wasn't allowed to make a reverse complaint. My girlfriend, who is with me, who is not complained against, wasn't even allowed to make a reverse complaint against her. So, obviously, they're enforcing it, and it's just kind of nonsense bullshit where, you know, they're using some horrible tragedy for nonsense. But I thought I would chime in with that because I heard you guys talking about it. Love the show. Love you guys. Take care.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 259, A Death in the Family.
And I am extraordinarily furious about that phone call.
Right. So what you just heard is what I'm calling bollocks.
Yeah. And so let's say we got to say to the caller, first off, that we completely got your back on this.
Absolutely.
In fact, we so have your back. I want you to write OG a letter.
Geekstuffog@gmail.com.
Right. with the information about the story, where the theater was, who you spoke to, if you have any of that information, because I am going to elevate this from a public level.
And you know, we have some contacts at AMC.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We've worked with them in the past.
Yeah.
So we have the possibility of at least getting someone's ear and getting a little bit more info on that policy and your situation.
And we want to do this for you.
Right.
We want to be advocates for you.
Right.
And we want to find out what the hell, because this talking in the theater nonsense has got to stop.
Absolutely.
And we cannot take the incident in Aurora, just like you said, and have it be used for the purpose of getting people thrown out who are doing the right thing by telling people on their cell phones to shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
And put their fucking phone away.
And he even said he was polite about it.
I know.
And I'm going to, he seemed very even keeled on the phone. So
he certainly did.
I'm going to trust that he actually was.
I'm assuming positive intent. But you know what? You should not have been thrown out for that, number one. Number two, you should definitely have been compensated for the fact that they were throwing you out if that didn't occur.
Of course.
Number three, she should have been thrown out.
Right.
Because if it was a problem between the two of you and she felt threatened, but she was on the phone, she should have been thrown out.
Sure.
And it's ridiculous for them to say, whoever makes the complaint first, that's a load of shit.
Yeah, that is.
Because if you're on your fucking phone in the theater, I tell people to shut the fuck up all the time.
and you do it like that.
And I'm quite sure they feel threatened by me. And they should. Because I'm liable to punch them in the fucking face if they don't shut off their goddamn cell phone and put it away.
Exactly.
Now, what I mean by that is, I may appear that I want to punch them in the face.
Oh, sure.
But I don't want to do that.
No, you want to give them a hug and buy them a soda.
No, I want them to learn that this is not the fucking place for them to take their personal fucking phone calls.
Tussle their hair and...
No. I want them to feel like, you know what? It's probably a good idea for me to
turn
do
my
this
cell phone off.
Because I don't know what this guy's going to do, number one. If that's threatening, great. But the most I'll ever do to somebody is go get the manager and
have them
thrown out.
I'm hoping not to tolerate
that bullshit.
I'm hoping that was an ill-informed employee erroneously applying a policy that he did not
understand.
We're
going to find out.
But we will find out.
So, sir, I'm asking you, please write OG a letter.
GeeksFOG@gmail.com.
Give us the information that we can follow up.
Absolutely.
And then we will let you know what happened.
That's right.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comics to check. Wait, was there no DVD?
Oh, there are DVDs.
Well, we should probably... Well, you've said comics.
Well,
now.
Let's do comics first. I'm thrown by the voicemail.
Look at this.
You're still reading that?
Now, let me tell you why this one is significant. This is Daredevil number 17 from Marvel.
Uh-huh.
With art by Mike Allred.
I noticed that on the cover as soon
and
as you showed it to me.
His wife, Laura, did the coloring. And
as
it's kind of really weird to have Mike Allred on a book that's being canceled.
Well,
it seems like a kind of a one-off thing.
Right.
I don't know that he is coming back. I'm not seeing any indication, although maybe he is, but I'm not seeing any indication that he is coming back. Mark Waid is still writing the book. As we all know, all Marvel books have been canceled, including Daredevil, and there hasn't been a word on what's going to be happening with Daredevil, so we just have to wait and see. But as far as an excellent issue goes, check out Daredevil 17. You will also want to check out from DC Comics. I was going to mention that one, but I'm not. From DC Comics, Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 12.
Yes.
That book is really good.
Yeah, it is.
Who we got? Scott Lobdell writing that.
Right.
And Timothy Green II.
Okay.
Or Timothy Green II.
Right.
Is doing the art. The art is fabulous.
Right.
They're out in space. This is a lot of stuff going on in this book.
Yes.
I would not even attempt to start to lay it out for you, but you know what it is, OG, and if you're not. So here we have Zorro Rides Again, Dynamite number 11. I think this cover is offensive.
Because of the giant butt cheeks?
Yeah, why can't we show her from the front? Why do we got to show her from the back? Have you seen this?
So you want to see her real boobs and not her butt boobs?
No, sir. I find this funny that I saw a picture recently. What if the Avengers were posed like
women
characters?
Yes.
Have you seen that one?
Yes, I have.
And I kind of see what they're getting at with shots like this.
You're taking up the geek girl cause now?
Is that what that is? Am I taking up the geek girl cause?
Not all geek girls are bad.
Well, if it gets me closer.
Before I get any flack.
If it gets me closer to some geek girls, I'm fine with it. So it's Zorro Rides Again, number 11. I think 12 is the last issue of this, isn't it?
Oh, good.
It? Or am I thinking, what do you mean, oh, good?
I'm just not into any of those pulpy characters anymore.
It's terrible, sir. I don't understand you. You would probably really like this book.
I'm hoping that I probably
to be
really
concluded.
Like Morning
Glory yes, instead. It is. So issue 12
right.
will be the last issue of that. And then I'm wondering if they go ongoing or if they cut it off.
I got a couple books.
Okay.
Saga number 6 came out this week.
What about Morning Glories?
That didn't come out this week.
Oh.
Saga number 6 came out this week. Also, Birds of Prey, which is actually getting pretty interesting. There's a pretty good story going on in there involving Ivy. That's been a really good read. And Nightwing, aren't you reading Nightwing?
No. I'm not reading Nightwing, Batgirl, Birds of Prey,
right.
Or Robin. Does Robin have his own book?
There's Batman and Robin. I don't think Robin has his own book.
Okay, so those are I'm not reading those ones of the family books. I'm not reading those.
Okay.
Do you have trades, OG, or any other books?
I do, actually. A listener of the show contacted us and said, hey, I have a book, and I would like for you to take a look at it.
Okay.
But I think I actually met this guy at New York Comic Con a couple years back.
Okay.
Zach
Galifianakis?
Galiango.
Oh,
I'm butchering your last name, Zach. You got to apologize. The book is called Broxo, B-R-O-X-O. I don't think this is a new release, but it's a trade. It's actually a really good self-contained story. It reminded me a little of Bone.
Okay.
It's kind of like a swords and sorcery zombie
thing
book. I don't want to give too much away, but the art is really solid. It's a fun read. If you're a fan of Bone, I definitely think you would like this. Again, the art's really solid. You should check it out. It's Broxo, B-R-O-X-O. And let Zach know if you liked it. And let us know if you like it.
Nice.
I thought it was a good read.
Also, some trades to check out. It's BPRD, Hell on Earth, Volume 3. This one is called Russia. What?
I said okay.
Oh. This is continuing the BPRD story. BPRD is a fabulous book, by the way. I'm so glad that it's still going on. I really thought at one point that it might be going away, but it looks like it isn't. So check that one out from Dark Horse Comics. And also from our friends over at Fantagraphics, you will be excited to read The Complete Peanuts, Dailies and Sundays 1985 to 1986, part of the definitive collection of Charles M. Schulz comic strip masterpiece Peanuts. This one with an introduction by Patton Oswalt.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's good that we're catching up finally.
And it features Snoopy's cousin on the cover, whose name I always forget. And now it always bugs me because I always forget what his name is. You know, the one with the hat and the mustache that lives in the desert?
Yeah.
I always forget who it is. Snoopy with the Mohawk, Halley's Comet, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there's a lot of topics that are covered in 1985 and 1986, so... You got a lot of terrific reads. Going to run you about $29. That's what they've been running.
Sure.
The collection looks fabulous together, by the way. I just put mine on a shelf recently. So you definitely want to check that out.
Loverly.
Geek stuff. DVD news.
There are a bunch of DVDs this week.
Okay. Now, is that Jaws?
Yes.
The deleted scenes version?
I believe this is the deleted scenes version.
On Blu-ray?
It is the... It's Universal's 100th anniversary Blu-ray edition.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a Jaws anniversary as well, but...
Don't think so.
But that is out this week. And I hear that the transfer and the upgrade is fantastic.
Phenomenal. It's phenomenal. I heard the same.
Also out this week, of course, is Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Did you see The Hunger Games?
I did not see The Hunger Games.
I did. I liked it.
I liked it
when it was Battle Royale also.
Part 2 is ramping up.
Uh-huh.
So I do definitely want to check that out. Raid the Redemption, which was another flick I wanted to check out. That's out on DVD this week.
I never even heard of that. Raid the Redemption?
Yeah, you had to have seen the trailer for that one. Uh-uh. That was the one where it's kind of like a SWAT slash kung fu movie. They're in the building and they're
no idea. No? Yeah. Didn't see it.
Anyway,
was there anything else, OG?
There was. Hold on one moment. Yes, two things.
Okay.
Or not really one thing. Iron Sky. We talked about this. I think we talked about the trailer for this. This was the Nazis versus Aliens movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think this ever got a theatrical release.
But it went direct to Blu-ray?
Yeah. Well, I think it was supposed to get a theatrical release, and they never got a full distributor.
Nobody so behind it?
Yeah, but it looked awesome.
Yeah, it did look really awesome.
So that Iron is out Sky. This week. Oh, Iron Sky.
I definitely got to check that out.
Yeah, that's definitely going on the queue.
Can I talk to you about something also?
You can.
Did Solomon Kane get a U.S. distributor finally?
Because, oh, God, I don't know.
Because suddenly the Solomon Kane trailer is back up on the Apple page. Like,
really?
In the recent releases. I didn't get a chance to look at it and
that
check it out.
What, isn't that movie like five years old?
No, it's like 2 years old.
Really?
Maybe three. I'll give it three. No, I think it's only three.
All right.
But, I mean, crazier shit's happened. I'm just saying.
Sure.
That's really weird. Anything else?
That's it in the DVD realm.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Yes, we have a few things.
I'm opening OG with something that you are going to envy my possession of.
I envy it already.
And that is, this is the Ultra Detail Figure Disney Series 3 Mickey Mouse Tron version.
And this is from Metacom?
Yeah, it is Metacom. Yeah. Now, it's about, what would you say that is? 3 inches?
I would say 3-4 inches. Somewhere in that ballpark.
3-inch figure of Mickey dressed in an original Tron outfit from the original movie. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you know
I think he'll play nice with other Tron action figures.
Do you know what's grossly missing from this, though?
The disc?
No disc.
Yeah. So I'm kind of wondering... Sometimes I wonder what it is that they do over at Medicom.
How do you have a Tron character without an identity?
Maybe he threw the disc already and he's waiting for it to come back.
That's just stupid.
I'm just trying to sell it. That's
I
all.
Like the piece.
I do too.
I'm disturbed by the lack of disc.
Also in this series is Mickey Mouse as Jack Skellington.
Right.
Which is just weird.
That one is weird, yeah.
Mickey Mouse as Jack Sparrow.
That one I like.
That one's a little interesting. Mickey Mouse monster version kind of looks like Frankenstein a little bit.
Yeah, that was from one of their animated shorts.
Okay, and Mickey Mouse as the Mad Hatter, the recent Mad Hatter.
Right, that looks all right, too.
That looks all right. Character. So, anyway, so check that out. It's going to run you about $12, which is really pricey for a 3-inch PVC.
Yeah.
But it is from Medicom,
exactly. And so you have to take that into account.
Right.
But look, the, you know, no points of articulation. The paint detail looks pretty.
Right.
So there you go.
Did you have something else before these?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, then we definitely want to take time tonight to talk about the Four Horsemen's release of the Outer Space Men. Now, this is Series 2, right?
This is the... What we have here tonight is the Infinity Edition, Waves 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. I get it.
The reissues.
The reissues.
Okay, so each wave, Wave 1 had 2 figures, Wave 2 had 2 figures.
Okay.
And they've reissued them with some minor tweaks. So, Wave 1, let's just go through... Let's just go through the ones in the series.
Okay.
Series 1 was Astronautilus... And Metamorpho.
Okay.
Okay.
Astronautilus.
Right. And I have Metamorpho.
Okay.
The change to Astronautilus, the skin color, which is purple, and the trident have been altered to match the original 1960s prototypes.
Okay. A little better.
A little bit better than they were.
Okay.
With
cool.
the previous release. Cool. And on Metamorpho, the white armor has been, brightened in order to match the original vision of the character. And the weapons and chest button have now been cast in a clear pink instead of painted pink.
Right.
Which I guess is
cool. So that's
to
like an improvement.
Well. Right.
That's cool. We got some improvements. That's interesting.
Wave 2 is...
No, wait. Let's talk about the characters for a minute. Astronautilus,
okay, sure.
The man from Neptune.
Astronautilus is quite possibly one of my favorite figures. Out of all of the ones they've released.
He kind of looks like a squiddy dude. He's got
it's
like
exactly what it is.
Squiddy arms and a squiddy head.
He's got a squiddy head on a dude body.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's great.
And he comes with that little trident, which I assume he holds. Oh, I see how he holds it with the loops there.
There is something. Why don't we take a step to the side real quick?
Okay.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the Outer Spacemen?
Okay.
1968 is when these first hit the toy show.
Picture it. 1968.
Right. These were based on designs by Mel Bernkrant.
Right.
Okay. And to me, these are kind of like the equivalent of what you would pick up in like Pathmark when you were a kid, or like the modern day dollar store. Do you know what I mean? Like they weren't licensed.
Right.
They'd
be in a five and dime.
Right. I'm not saying that they were, but that's kind of
what
they evoke.
Yeah, I get you.
And they are just these classic, awesome sci-fi,
right?
Almost archetypes.
Yeah, really.
I want to say.
Okay.
You know, like, do you know what I mean? Like
sure.
They hit on very specific concepts of classic sci-fi.
Right.
All right. So back into Astronautilus.
Okay.
He is quite possibly one of my favorites in the line. There's something about the design of that figure that just screams like campy 50s, 60s sci-fi.
It's pretty fab.
You know what I mean? No like, doubt. I don't know that I could see that character working in modern sci-fi. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's something too camp about it.
Campy 60s
but
sci-fi.
He's awesome.
He is awesome.
I mean, I'd love to see it work into modern sci-fi. I just don't see it in modern sci-fi.
Okay.
All right.
And so, who you had Metamorpho.
Metamorpho.
He's the man from where?
The man from Alpha Centauri.
Oh.
So he has, and all of these come with a couple of different body parts.
Right.
Some interchangeable body parts, some guns and stuff like that. The other thing we should say
about
these, is all of the outer spacemen are completely compatible with the GLaDOS system.
Okay.
And intentionally so.
Right.
So if you are a GLaDOS collector,
right,
you can mix and match
now,
these.
Metamorpho has got the spinny head.
Yes.
So you can have many faces. Looks like he has three different faces, if I'm reading that correct.
Yes.
And you kind of spin the little top and you get different heads.
Yeah, this is the inspiration for Manny Faces, the He-Man character. It absolutely
really?
Is. I'm almost right down to the character design.
Manny Faces.
I mean, seriously, if you put the two side by side, it's close.
That's funny.
All right.
And who do you have now?
Wave 2.
Uh-huh. No,
is
so this is Wave 2.
Zodiac and Inferno.
Inferno.
So the changes to Zodiac,
uh-huh,
helmet color, staff color, and gun color have all been altered to, again, match the original 1960s prototype.
Right.
And Inferno, head gun and chest button, back flames, have all been cast in clear red and orange instead of blue and orange. Painted red and orange, rather.
Right.
So, again, just really nice. You know what? They're like quality control upgrades.
They are.
You know what I mean? And
they
not
are.
That the first wave that the Horsemen put out weren't good, great. They really were.
They were.
But these are just kind of nice retweaks.
Yeah. The flame, Inferno, the flame man of Mercury.
That's right.
And so his entire face is just clear flame. He's got some back flames happening. He's got a little flamey gun, some alternate arms. And things. Great figure. These are like, what are they, like 3-4 inches tall?
I'm going to say they're 3 3/4.
I got to say, yeah, you're probably right. Star Wars size.
They're Star Wars size.
Cool.
Right? I mean, isn't that that's the scale, I think?
I think one or two of these might show up in my cantina.
And they would be 100% appropriate.
100%
for your cantina
appropriate
setup. Actually, that would be an awesome display. I want to see that now. I want to see the cantina with the outer space.
Outer space men.
Someone's got to do
show
this.
Up at the cantina.
All right. The other one is Zodiac, the man from Saturn.
The man from Saturn.
He's kind of like, he's another one. He's kind of almost got like a devil kind of head with a clear space helmet.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I like best about this figure, aside from the awesome phaser gun that he has.
Phaser.
I like his staff, too.
Yeah.
Which is like the planet Saturn
with the
ring around it.
That's cool.
Just really, really great. So these are currently available for pre-order.
Pre-order.
Okay. Over at Store Horseman, which is shop4horseman.com.
Right.
They are...
There's a bunch of websites you can check out. Let's read them all off.
Sure.
It's fourhorsemen.biz.
Right.
Right? That's spelled out. fourhorsemen.biz. What is fantasticexclusive.com? Do we know what that one is? That one's on here, too. I don't know what that one is. But then there is storehorsemen.com, storehorsemen.com. And that presumably brings you right to the store. And for more information on O'Neill Design Glio system, visit O'NeillDesign.com, O-N-E-L-L-D-E-S-I-G-N.com to learn more about the system, the Glio system that these figures enjoy.
Right. Again, these four figures are on pre-order right now over at Store Horseman.
Okay.
It's $50 for all four figures.
Wow, that's it?
So it's, what is that, $10.50 a figure?
And what's the coupon code?
There is no coupon code.
Oh.
Also up for pre-order right now, we should mention, the Cosmic Creators Series Outer Spacemen Four Horsemen Edition.
Okay, what is that?
They are repaints of these four figures.
Okay.
Brightly hued and utterly unique. I'm reading off of the Store Horseman website. I'm reading their flavor text.
Uh-huh.
Unique versions of the first four outer spacemen that were released feature vibrant new paints and clear weapons and accessories as reimagined by the horsemen themselves. So this is like their take on the original designs. Repaints.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Yep.
Also up for pre-order right now, something that I think may have premiered at San Diego in a limited number.
Right.
The Alpha Phase 5 and Alpha Phase Deluxe 1 Outer Spaceman. Again, that is $50 for those figures.
Are they a color wave or?
There's the Alpha Phase, then the Beta Phase, and then you get this phase.
Oh, I see.
The Alpha Phase is, they're clear.
Okay.
These are going to be Gemini and Orbitron from Wave 5.
Right.
And the deluxe figure is Cyclops.
Wait, Wave 5? What wave are we on? Are we on Wave 2 or 4?
Well,
because there's two per wave, right?
We talked about Waves 3 and 4 many episodes back.
Oh, we did.
Not the reissues, though, the first release of them.
Okay.
That was Waves 3 and 4, those four figures. That was the little green guy with the bubble, Alpha 7. And Electron, uh-huh, or something like that was his name, remember?
Mistron.
Right, those were the
and
two.
And Commander Comet.
That was the two that I said you could take Brian Blessed from Flash Gordon, right, and mesh it
it's
with.
Series, yeah. It's Series 3 and Series 4. So what was Series 1 and... It's Series 1 and 2 is what we're missing.
No, these are Series 1 and 2. These are the reissues.
Oh, okay.
That was 3 and 4, which have not had any sort of reissue
yet.
Got it.
And 5 has not happened yet.
That's correct.
So we didn't miss anything.
5 is the Alpha Wave, which is out now.
Cyclops,
in this line, I should say,
that's
is
the big,
big
one.
One. Yeah. It's the really big one.
Yeah, yeah.
What I don't know, do you remember what wave was the female? The first new character, remember? That might be wave 6.
That might be, yeah. I know that
we saw that at the show back in February.
The retrospective. Right. The Outer Spaceman retrospective.
Right.
Where was that? That was in the...
That was in the basement of Toy Tokyo. The Toy Tokyo Gallery.
Toy Tokyo Gallery.
The Underground, I think it's called.
Of course it is.
But, again, you know, the Four Horsemen put out... I'm going to say the best figures... Some of the best figures. The best figures.
You know, and we say this all the time because they're sculpting a lot of things that I don't know that we're supposed to talk about that they're sculpting.
Right.
But we know the things that they are sculpting that we're allowed to talk about, you know, is the DC stuff.
For right. The Masters of the Universe stuff, et cetera, et cetera.
The Masters of the Universe stuff. I mean, and a whole bunch of other things. We outed them. I don't know if we were supposed to out them on the Ninja Turtles from NECA.
Yeah, we will.
But they
know.
Did those. I don't know. I'll do it again, though.
But all of their original stuff, like the Scarabus figures that we've talked about, and that whole, the Gothitropolis line.
Yeah, let's talk about those for a second. Let's talk about their originals for a second.
Okay.
The other thing that we saw at the retrospective was a case full of those sort of one-off.
There were two of those series, remember?
Two. What was that series where we got the 6-inch one? I can't remember the name of that series. That was some great stuff. And what Cornboy told us was that they wanted to do that series in this scale, and they had like vehicles, and they had like, I mean, they had a whole bunch of things for that scale. Do you remember what the name of that series was?
One of them was the Magma Corps.
That's the one I'm talking about,
right? And I never remember the other one.
I don't remember.
This is Commander Argus,
right? Which is a 6-inch prototype figure that they did,
which is an amazing figure, by the way.
Yeah.
But we talk about those, that line, every time we see them, and how we want, and they want to make them. I think it's really just you know, they have to find, they're self-produced, those ones, so they have to find the funding to do it.
Right.
But I'm saying Four Horsemen, Project Kickstarter, let's do it.
Magma Corps?
For any of them. Other companies are getting toy
produced
through Kickstarter.
There
are a bajillion Horseman fans out there.
Totally.
That would absolutely support a Kickstarter project
We would fund
Magma
that.
Corps, that other one, whatever.
We'd back that project.
Hells yes!
We would.
That all being said.
Yes. OG. So check out what? Uh-oh. What?
No, you're doing good. Oh. Check out.
I thought you were saying...
Well, we have something else to do before break.
Oh, we do?
We have our sponsor.
Oh. Well, in any case, check out... It's the Outer Spaceman from the Four Horsemen. Once again, it's fourhorsemen.biz, storehorsemen.com, something called fantasticexclusive.com. And to check out O'Neill Designs for the Glios, the system that these figures work in, O'NeillDesign.com. Check those out. I'm really jazzed. I'm so excited whenever new ones of these come out, or even ones that I haven't seen before. Sure. So, very exciting.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Which one is this? Is this Luke's Toy Store?
This is Luke's Toy Store. We've been talking about them now for the past couple weeks. Awesome Mini-Mate store. He's got some great pieces online.
Hey, dude, if you're into Mini-Mates... I mean, Luke's Toy Store is like the place to go.
They sponsored that awesome Mini Mate contest for us last week. So, you know, thanks
did
to them,
we gave
out
winners?
Some great prizes. We did.
Nice.
But this week, what we're going to be talking about specifically, and of course, all the great Mini Mates that we've been talking about, all available at Luke's Toy Store. But coming soon, and I think these are pre-orders right now, Walking Dead Mini Mates.
Wow.
All right. Now, these are awesome. Aside from the main characters, each little two-pack comes with...
Piece of a zombie.
No, not a piece of a zombie, but a generic zombie.
Okay.
Or you know, I guess in some case, there might be one or two specifics.
So you get like Rick Grimes and
a
zombie.
This is great for army builders.
Oh, yeah.
Zombie army builders. So yeah, these are coming out. There's a couple of different two-packs. They range from $7.50 to $10, I think, $10, depending on which set it is.
Wow.
You can get these over at LukesToyStore.com right now. It's LukesToyStore.com/the... that's a long link. I'll post the link to the Walking Dead pre-order and to the regular website over at the over on the episode page. But definitely check out LukesToyStore.com for all of your Meaty Mate goodness and needs, and definitely get your ass on some of these Walking Dead ones that look fantastic.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean Mini Mates, there's so many Mini Mates out right now. I mean, for different licenses and properties, you're definitely liable to find something that you're interested in Mini Mate form over there at Luke's Toy Store. So definitely check them out. And with that, OG, why don't we take our final break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 259, Death in the Family.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Hey, this is Robert Hedges from Welcome Back, Cotter.
This is Lauren Hoogan Jacobs from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Hey, this is Ron Palillo from Welcome Back, Cotter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Right on, y'all.
But those dreams have remained and they've turned around.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 259. Death in the Family.
OG, what did we talk about on this week's episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff? But wait! Before you do that,
that's
OG,
right.
We have to talk about Superpower Collectibles.
Superpower Collectibles. For all of your statue, toy, comic book, figure goodness. Got everything over there.
I know they do.
And most of it awesome.
And you
and
know,
I don't say most of it because there's just some license things I don't like.
And you know what?
But I bet you do.
And you know what the best thing about it over there is?
What?
There's a coupon code.
There is a fantastic coupon code.
It's called Big Kev.
That's right.
And you get, with your order of $50 or more, you get $10 off your order.
That's correct.
And with an order of $100, you get free shipping.
That's right.
And with an order of $200, you win a date with OG.
No, you do not win a date with OG.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe it's platonic.
I'm going to find somebody. Just I'm going to just write OG on a shirt.
Put them there out you there. Go.
I'm going to start franchising out OG.
Hello, I'm OG.
Yes.
So nice to meet you.
So, I don't sound like that.
The other guy.
Oh. Is this like Multiplicity? My clones would become... Anyway, check out superpowercollectibles.com for all of your awesome goodness. They really do have some quality product.
Yeah, totally.
And of course, check out all of our sponsors at Because Geek Stuff.
Yeah.
Get something that you like. Help out the show. Help out the sponsor. Everybody's a winner.
You help
Everybody
out.
Goes, I'm happy.
You help out yourself. And don't forget the coupon code BIGKEV. $10 off any order, $50. Free shipping.
That's
with
correct.
An order of $100.
That's right.
Only by using the code BIGKEV.
That's right.
OG, what did we actually talk about on this week's episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about the sad passing of Harry Maxwell Harrison, Ron Palillo, and, of course, Joe Kubert. Very, right. very sad.
Poor Joe.
That's like, that one, like...
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
That one, like, hit close, you know? That was a sad one.
Yeah.
In the news tonight, we talked about the BBC America U.S. premiere screening of Doctor Who, Asylum of the Daleks, August 25th in New York City. Tickets go on sale August 16th. There'll be a link shared to where to get those tickets if you follow BBC America on the Twitter.
And
so, do that.
We also talk about BBC America's brand new show premiering this Sunday night, Copper. Check it out.
That's right. We talked about Daredevil. The rights looks like they're going back to Marvel as far as the film franchise goes.
Daniel Day-Lewis attached.
NBC developing a supervillain show called... Hench.
Daniel Day-Lewis, also attached.
Christmas Story 2, direct-to-DVD, starring Daniel Day-Lewis as Ralphie.
And you won't believe how much he looks like a grown version of Ralphie.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
That was it?
Was it?
I think so.
In the news.
In the news, yeah.
In other stuff, we talked about comics tonight, some trades to check out, BPRD Hell on Earth, Volume 3, Russia. The Complete Peanuts, 1985 to 1986. What was that? Briscoe trade? Briscoe.
Roxo.
Wow. That was a throwback.
Not Briscoe. Roxo, B-R-O-X-O, B-R-O-X-O. Check that out for sure.
Remember Briscoe County Jr.?
I do. I still watch it every now and again.
Comic books to check out. Daredevil 17, Mike Allred doing the art on that one. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 12. And Zorro Rides Again with the feminist inappropriate cover, number
also,
11.
Also out this week, Saga, number 6, and Birds of Prey, number 12. And I will be checking out Morning Glories.
Morning Glories, yeah. I want you to let me know how that is. That a, can I trade or wait to that?
I think it's, you don't have to wait. It's already traded.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think there's at least more than, there's more than one.
I may have to pick that up.
Out on DVD this week.
Yeah.
We talked about Jaws, the Blu-ray anniversary release edition.
Uh-huh.
We also talked about The Hunger Games, Raid the Redemption, and
there was another one.
Oh, Iron Sky.
Iron Sky.
Also out on DVD
this week. Gotta remember to get that.
And then, of course, in Product.
You didn't mention that Shaft also came out on Blu-ray.
You know, sometimes I can.
You know, that Shaft is one bad mother.
Watch your mouth.
I'm only talking about Shaft.
That'll get
so stupid. In Product tonight, we talked about Medicom's latest expensive Disney 3-inch PVC figure. It's Mickey Mouse as Tron.
Without an identity disc.
Without a disc, which is kind of strange.
Probably
unless
they put
a little tiny
unless
one.
Unless probably the big game of disc would have been $15.
I know, it would have been. It's terrible. You're terrible.
Also out in Product this week, we talked about the Outer Spaceman by the Four Horsemen.
Yes.
Of course, specifically, we talked about the Infinity Edition Waves 1 and 2 reissues.
Yes.
You should check out the Outer Spaceman.
Totally.
Even if you are not. Remember guy? Guy who likes, who listens to Product,
Product.
But may not buy something?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, dude,
this
you're
might
like a
be
sci-fi
a,
dude.
Seriously.
This is a line for you to check out.
This may be one for you to check out.
You
sir.
May fall in love.
May. You may fall in love.
Fourhorsemen.biz for more information on that.
Because geek stuff bringing the love.
That's right. Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes. Of course, we have links to the episode gallery, the message boards, the GVM line.
Oh, baby. 425-920-6050.
Of course, check us out at Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. And, if you subscribe to us on iTunes, maybe leave us a review.
Twitter.
At BKGeekStuff and at GeekStuffOG.
Nice.
And I think
email.
BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com.
Nice.
Or through the contact us link on the website.
Oh, that's true, too. Goes right through there. Really?
Yeah.
So much stuff on the show.
You know, we're getting good at this.
I know.
260.
Not bad. We're probably solid amateurs now.
Yes.
OG, with that, I'm going to end Big Kev's Geek Stuff this week, as we end all shows, but not all shows from the past. But what we're now doing is saying goodnight, corn boy, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
To this, we try to